You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO at 102.7 FM.
I was asked to talk about the impact of the CETA agreement on drugs in Canada. So I'm going to talk about patents, prices, and drug safety, three subjects that are near and dear to my heart. You know, patents are a really complicated area, and the CETA agreement is, there's a lot of language in it that I don't completely understand, but there are some things that jumped out from the page at me that I want to talk about tonight. The patent clock in Canada starts ticking as soon as the Canadian Intellectual Property Office grants an inventor a patent on that gives that person the exclusive right to use or license or sell whatever the invention is. For most products, that's good to go for the market. You get the patent, you go to the market. But for drugs, it's quite different. For drugs, you have to go through not only the patent process, but you also have to go through a regulatory process to make sure that when your product gets to the market, it's safe and effective. Usually when a drug enters clinical trials, the product enters the clinical trial with a patent. So the patent starts when the clock is ticking as soon as the patent is granted, but the pharmaceutical manufacturer has to go through all of these different things before the drug gets to the market. Drug companies have argued consistently ever since I have been involved in this area that the regulatory process reduces the effective life of the patent on their drugs. And they've pushed very, very hard to ensure that that regulatory system is loosened, is relaxed, so that they can speed through it more quickly. And Canada has accommodated those demands in ways that are unbelievable. And if you look back over the last 20-plus years, since the mid-1980s, well, specifically since 1987, there have been 8 really important changes to drug patents in Canada, all of them favoring brand-name companies. And I'm not going to get into all of them, but I want to mention 2 of them. Many people here will remember in 1987 when the Mulroney government extended the patent period on brand-name drugs from 10 to 17 years from the date the patent was filed. And that was done in exchange for a commitment from the industry that they would increase their investment in Canada in research and development to 10% of their total annual sales. But unfortunately, I think that they did meet that target, but now they have slid back, and less than 7% of sales revenue is going to research and development, and the majority of that paltry sum is actually going to product development, not basic research in Canada. So we got screwed, basically, in 1987. Then in 1992, dear Prime Minister Mulroney also eliminated what was referred to as compulsory licensing, meaning that the generic drug industry was prohibited from providing copies of brand-name drugs until the patent was fully expired. Effectively further extending the monopoly patent period that the companies held. What the Europeans are proposing to do is yet another very dramatic change to the intellectual property regime that will affect drugs. And I'm going to go get into it in a bit of detail, but this is not going to benefit Europeans and it's not going to benefit Canadians. In fact, it's not going to benefit anybody except for pharmaceutical investors. There's no aspect of the regulatory system that it comes under tighter scrutiny than the approval process at Health Canada. The industry has always lobbied for quicker approvals. They want to get the drugs onto the market as quickly as possible, which makes sense because that's when they start making money. But drug approval times are affected by a number of things. One is the lack of human resources at Health Canada, and another reason is because of delays that the drug companies they, when Health Canada asks them for additional information, there are often delays on the part of the company in providing the information that Health Canada needs in order to approve the drug for the market. But because of a number of different changes within Health Canada, and a lot of it has to do with pressure from the industry, drug approval times have significantly decreased in Canada, and it's not all for the good. For example, in 1995, it took 650 days median on a median time to get a drug through the approval process, 650 days. By 2004, that had been reduced to 317 days. And today, the standard that that Health Canada tries to meet is 180 days. This is a very, very shortened approval time, and it does affect the safety of the drugs that are coming onto the market. Now, these approval times are the average times for new breakthrough drugs. But unfortunately, fewer than 10% of all new drugs coming onto the market are actually breakthrough drugs. Nonetheless, the approval times are applied to drugs that are referred to as Me Too drugs. They're essentially the same as what is already on the market, except they have a higher price tag. What the European proposals will do is link an extension on the patent to approval times. So that means that that what they're saying is that we want the patent to be extended by 5 years if there is a lapse in time between the filing of the patent and the time that that drug comes onto the market. So think about this for 1 minute. You have the patent is filed on January 1, and it takes 5 years to get through the approval process. So the drug companies will get an extension on the patent of up to 5 years if it takes that long, even if they are responsible for the delay, which they often are. So this is something that will have a really dramatic impact on our ability to access generic products in Canada. And of course, when we have problems getting access to generic drugs, it drives up the cost of drugs, as the film and Paul both pointed out. In 2009, we spent about $25 billion in Canada on prescription drugs. And the estimate for 2010 is about $31 billion. So the $2.8 billion increase in the total cost of prescription drugs in Canada is almost 10% of what we will be estimated paying from last year. We also have the second already, today, we already have the second highest rate of growth in annual drug expenditures, and following the U.S., that's within the OECD. Now, 45% of that $2.8 billion is going to be carried by provincial drug plans, and the other 55% is going to be carried by consumers and private employer-sponsored extended health plans. The problem, as from my perspective, or one of the problems with this, is that provinces have invested so much time and effort during the last decade in wrestling drug prices down, because they're the ones, the federal government doesn't bear the cost of its the policy decisions it makes in this area. It's the provinces who carry the burden of the increased cost, and so all of the work that's being done, including in BC, where we have led the country in maintaining some control over escalating drug costs, all of this is going to be undermined by CETA because of the fact that it will take longer for those generic drugs to come onto the market. And I also would suggest that there is going to be a weakening of an already weak system of price controls in Canada. So that's on the public payer side. On the private payer side, you know, we have a lot of us are covered by extended health benefits that are paid for by the employer. But in the last 6 to 7 to 8 years, we don't know because StatsCan is forbidden from collecting the data now, but the number of people who have extended health benefits in Canada has been declining, not increasing, and the generosity of the employer is shrinking at the same time. So, and a lot of this is due to the escalating cost of drugs. So employers are paying higher premiums because the drugs are hitting their extended health benefit plans. And so employers are trying to shift the cost to consumers. Paul said that $1.3 billion of the $2.8 billion increase is going to be is falling onto the shoulders of the provinces, but $1.5 billion is falling onto the shoulders of private payers, and the majority of that, roughly $800 million, is going to come out of our pockets directly. This has nothing to do with extended health benefits. We will pay out of pocket by about $800 million if the CETA agreement goes through. So, there was a report, a CCPA report, a fantastic report by Marc-André Gagnon, which suggested ways to things that we could do to reduce the cost of drugs in Canada by 43%. And none of the suggestions that he made had to included a trade deal like CETA, or a weakened price control system, or the undermining of an evidence-based review system so we know that the drugs that we're getting are safe. One of the things that I think has not been addressed, and I'm going to address it because this is a situation that I think is really important to people as well as the cost of drugs, and that's drug safety. When drugs come to the market, most of us believe that they're safe, that they're effective, that they're going to do what they that they're supposed to do, and this is often not the case, unfortunately. Approval times that are too slow are a problem because people who need a breakthrough drug, a real drug that's going to improve their lives or save their lives, it's important to get those onto the market as quickly as possible. But expedited or quicker drug approvals are equally problematic. In fact, they're more of a problem. So anything that puts pressure on Health Canada to expedite those drug approvals and get them more quickly on the market before they've been properly tested, before the evidence has been properly reviewed, is a big problem. Slower drug approvals are based on the physician creed of first do no harm. And the slower approvals give Health Canada the time that they need to actually scrutinize the claims that the manufacturers are making regarding the effectiveness and safety of the drugs. But since the introduction of the first free trade deal in Canada, what we've seen is this complete, not a collapse, but a real shrinkage in terms of the time that it's taking to get drugs to the market. And we've also seen within Health Canada a reorientation of its money towards expediting drug approval. So the overwhelming amount of money spent by the regulator is spent on expediting approvals to the market, and very, very little money is spent on ensuring that those drugs, when they are on the market, are properly monitored and that the effects, both in terms of effectiveness and adverse drug reactions, is closely monitored. And monitoring adverse drug reactions is absolutely essential because what we've seen over the last decade in particular is a real increase in the number of adverse drug reactions that are being reported by Canadians. Adverse drug reactions are now one of the highest causes of death and hospitalization in North America. And the more lax the regulator, the more risk there is in terms of the use of approved drugs. We've already seen that within Health Canada there's been a reorientation of its priorities, largely at the urging of the pharmaceutical industry. There's very little money or time spent on monitoring drugs once they're on the market, and the reason is because the drug industry, quite frankly, could care less what happens when you're taking their products, as long as they're not forced to pull the drug or it doesn't give them bad public relations. The reason for the increase in adverse drug reactions isn't exclusively related to free trade, but any trade deal that links the approval process to patents is going to put pressure on the regulator to push those drugs through in a more timely fashion, as it would be described by the industry. There's nobody who benefits from the provisions in the CETA agreement as they pertain to pharmaceuticals except for the pharmaceutical investors. Not even insurance companies and employers who are paying for extended health benefits are going to benefit, and certainly we are not going to benefit. Instead, what's happening is that the substantial increase in what we're going to be paying for drugs is going to be matched by really significant increased profits for companies, most of which are not even based in this country. So I think that the suggestions that Paul had about how we have to fight, I hope I see everybody at Occupy Vancouver next week, and that this is one of the things that we put on the agenda. This is the federal government that's pushing this deal. It has no stake in the outcome, but we have a stake, and so do our provincial governments. Thanks.